This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Our next guest divides his time between the U.S. and Sweden. After paying taxes in both countries and looking at what that money buys, he'd rather pay taxes in Sweden, he says, even if the rate's a little higher there.
Thomas Hemmerlein is a native of Portage and was a longtime professor at UW-Madison. He's been teaching in Sweden since 2004 and is at work on the book Falling in Love with Sweden, One Mistake at a Time. And you can find his piece about taxes up right now on the Central Time Facebook page. Thomas joins us in studio. Thomas, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Veronica. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Thomas, you split your time between Sweden and the United States, and you wrote about how a visit to the Apostle Islands, the islands at the tippy top of Wisconsin, it got you thinking about what we get for our taxes here in this country. Can you tell me a little bit about that visit and what you started thinking about in terms of accessibility for families and all that stuff?
Sure. We get to the end of Wisconsin, you get to the Apostle Islands, it's a national park. And there's one boat a day, and it can cost a family over $100 to take their family out. I live in Stockholm. We have a 23,000 island archipelago. I see your public TV trip is going to Stockholm in a month or so, and you'll be going out to those islands. And there it costs $10 or $15 to get out to these islands. My wife and I had a full day boat trip in the islands for about $25. So the Swedes have developed systems to give access to these areas, and we have things that we don't get access to because we expect the public to pay their way out there rather than the Park Service to provide it.
Now, here in the United States, Scandinavian countries have a reputation for a high rate of taxation, or at least a higher rate of taxation. Is that fair?
Well, my experience when I went to Stockholm, I mean, the book is called One Mistake at a Time, right? And one of the mistakes was I thought, oh, 56% tax. How can you possibly survive in a country where people take more than half of your income in income tax? Then we started paying income tax, and it turned out we were only paying in the low 30%. Here I pay 23%, so I pay more, but not as much. And then I don't pay any property tax. Wisconsin farmers, you hearing that? No property tax. Read my lips. So that was a surprise to me. And then, of course, when I go out to buy something here in Wisconsin, I pay $10, and then they say, and that will be $10.53. When I buy something in Sweden for 100 kroner, it's 100 kroner. You make the deal on the price. Now, when you look at the receipt, you will discover that you've paid 25% sales tax on that. Oh my gosh, that sounds terribly high, doesn't it? In Wisconsin, we pay almost 25% sales tax on our gasoline. But when you go in and buy $20 worth of gas, they don't say, oh, and then that will be $5 for the taxes. So the Swedes have embedded this, as we do in gas tax, and so you don't think about paying tax. You think about buying gasoline. You think about buying a product. So things are expensive in Sweden because they carry that tax burden, but it doesn't hurt. And like that no property tax bill, that's the one that always hurts me right before Christmas. I think I'm just a little ahead, and bang, I'm not.
Right, and you have a lot of thoughts about the way that we report our taxes and all the rest of it. You say in a way the U.S. system is designed to make you feel kind of miserable. And one aspect of that, you say the U.S. tax system, generally if they want to incentivize something or give you a break, you get a tax deduction or a tax credit, let's say. And in Sweden, you say generally what you get is cash.
Money, when you need it. So if you have a child here, you get a tax deduction, right? You have a child in Sweden, you get a check every month. So you can use the money to buy the shoes to take care of the kids. The more kids you have, up to a certain, well, the more kids you have, you keep getting an increase in the amount. I've got my apartment remodeled. And it was when the economy was down, and they basically were trying to employ workers to fix people's apartments and build things up. And when I got the bill, it said 50,000 kroner to be paid for by the IRS. And I said, fine, when do I write you the check for the 50,000? Oh, no, no. They said the IRS sends it to us.
And we just got through with tax season here in Wisconsin as well. People filling out their tax forms, some people hiring accountants or someone to complete their taxes. And it surprised me to hear that in Sweden you say the tax forms come to you and they're already filled out. How can that be?
It surprised me, too. My tax form in Sweden is 4 pages long, and the one here we fill out is 32 pages long, and it takes us weeks to gather all that information and fill it out, which is a tax on the taxpayer. Furthermore, we spend $32 billion a year paying tax preparers to help us pay our taxes. So that's a tax I can't get out of, and that we can't get out of. So it's very efficient. The government needs to collect this money for collective goods, but they make it easy for the taxpayer to pay.
Now, I want to mention something that David Brooks wrote about in the New York Times. He said that if Americans paid European-style high taxes, he says it would weaken the ability of members of the middle class to make choices about their own lives. What do you say to that argument? Is Brooks onto something?
Well, that was the most amazing thing in my experience. I started to discover that when you pay higher taxes, you're not burning up the money. You're buying collective goods. And when you buy those collective goods all together, then they're available to everybody. So, in Sweden, college is paid for everyone. College students get to choose where they want to go, not on the basis of how wealthy their parents are, but what school they want to go to. They don't have to work as much while they're going to school because they get a stipend from the state. As a professor, I'm delighted that my students aren't flipping hamburgers, that they can go to the library. And so they get that choice, that opportunity. I live in Lodi, where we have low taxes in America, some of the lowest in the world on a GDP basis. I'm free. I have a lot of freedom. I'm free to come to Madison any way I want, as long as it's in a private automobile with me driving. There's no train connection. There's no bus connection. Any city near Stockholm Village, the size of Lodi, with the railroad tracks to it, would have 2 to 3 trains an hour and bus service as well. So I have much more freedom of choice, given that we have spent that money in Sweden for the collective goods.
Now, someone who is looking at this with a critical eye could say, yes, but some people may not be able to afford this higher rate of taxation, even though you say it isn't as high as we think it is, only high, especially high for the top earners. But isn't it also true that some of these taxes are regressive and they fall more heavily on lower income people?
That's right. The problem with the sales tax is that it is very regressive. But the good thing about Sweden is that you have a very tight income distribution. Professors don't make a lot more than cab drivers, but cab drivers are pretty well paid. And so that means that basically everybody is affected pretty much the same way. And I will say the income tax is incredibly progressive, so people at the high end pay that 56%. And when my wife retired, she took another job at the department, but she went to half time. And I thought, well, you know, our income's going to be cut in half. It wasn't. It was only cut in a quarter because she dropped down into another income tax bracket.
Now, you were talking a little bit ago about those property taxes, which here in the United States, they're funding schools and they're funding roads and building infrastructure. How does Sweden handle that, Niamh?
Well, Sweden collects the money through those sales taxes. That brings in a large amount of money. Other taxes from the general revenue fund replace that property tax. And property tax is one of the more unfair taxes. When I was in Lodi having breakfast with my farmer friends, they said, you know, we pay tax on our retirement program. You don't pay any tax on it. And they were absolutely right.
How do you want people to think differently about taxes in the United States. We're looking at a legislature right now, a Republican-led legislature that wants to change the tax code, simplify the tax code, make other changes. What do you want Americans to be thinking about at this particular political juncture in this country?
Well, I think we're at a time of great change, and I think there are many opportunities. And what I'm trying to do as a writer is to communicate to people in a positive way how things are being done in Europe. We just see people grab a single statistic, 56% tax. Oh, my God! When the fact of the matter is it's much more interesting than that and much fairer, and it brings you stuff. So that's what I'm trying to do as a writer. Nationally, we certainly should be working on tax simplification, and everybody could agree to that no matter which side of the continuum they're on.
And we'll leave it there. Tom, thank you so much for coming into the studio and joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Talking there to Thomas Heberlein, a professor emeritus at UW-Madison. He divides his time between the United States and Sweden, and he's currently a teacher in Sweden, and he's at work on the book Falling in Love with Sweden, One Mistake at a Time. And don't forget, you can check out the article we've been discussing. It ran in Vox.com. It's Thomas's piece on taxes and why he loves paying taxes in Sweden, far prefers that despite the higher tax rate to paying taxes in the United States.